again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Behold! Fish Boy!
This is my boomstick!
Red Rum.
Carpet Day!
We'll tear your soul apart.
Oh, yes. There will be blood.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
What the prime time, bitch?
Hail, Rodma.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Three from Hell podcast. I forgot what we were called for a second. I'm Sam, and I'm joined by Dino, Justin, and Melee. And today, we're going to be covering As Above, So Below. We just finished watching it, actually. Two of us for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
What will we have to say about it? Find out on the next episode of Dragon Ball 3. Anyway, As Above, So Below was directed by John Eric Dowdle. It was written by John Eric Dowdle and Drew Dowdle. Your producers include Thomas Tull, John Dushini, Drew Dowdle, and Patrick Iao. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce his last name. Mm-hmm. Cinematography done by Leo Hinston. Editing done by Elliot Greenberg. Music done by Kiefer Ciancia. Production companies are Legendary Pictures, Brothers Dowdle. Distribution done by Universal Pictures with a release date of August 29th, 2014. Runtime of 93 minutes with a budget of $5 to $10 million. It brought in to the box office $41.8 million.
Interesting.
Pretty good. Your cast includes the aforementioned Theo Cholby. Did I say his name? No, I didn't. What the fuck am I talking about? Theo Cholby as the mysterious teenager. Gaia Bloxage. Who knows? As the curator. Samuel, crazy ass last name that starts with an. It is spelled A O U I Z E R A T E. Uh huh. Danny. Roger Van Hool as Scarlet's father. Dude, fuck off. People put. Someone plays Reza. Someone plays Latelp. Someone plays Zed. Fuck. Shut up.
Do you want me to do it?
No. Edwin Hodge as Benji. Ben Feldman as George. And Perdita Weeks as Scarlett Marlowe. If I didn't read off a cast member's name, it's because they have a crazy fucking name that I'm not pronouncing. Fuck you. If you want to watch As Above, So Below, you're going to have to rent or buy it because it's not available on streaming anywhere. And now that that is out of the way, Melee is going to tell you what happened to the movie, so if you don't want it spoiled, head on over to patreon.com/udamnright and watch it with us for $1 a month. Michael, you have the floor.
Yes. All right. Let me put my balls down first.
Right. I'll help you.
Why are your hands wet? All right.
Wow.
Synopsis. Scarlett Marlowe is a young scholar continuing her dead father's research for the Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Mm-hmm.
A legendary alchemical substance, the substance discovered by the alchemist Nicholas Flamel. The reputed stone can allegedly turn base metals into gold or silver, and grant Eternals bad movie life. Scarlet discovers the Rose Key artifact in an Iranian cave slated for demolition. But after she sees a vision of a hanged man, the demolition begins and she narrowly escapes. Scarlet travels to Paris. She enlists her former lover, George of the Jungle, and her cameraman, Benji. Using codes from the key, they solve a riddle on Flamel's headstone and get coordinates pointing to the catacombs of Paroles. Scarlet tries to reach the location on an official tour, but it is off limits. A stranger tells them that a cataphile named Papillon will help them if they find him at a nearby club. The three visit the Winx Club and recruit Papillon, his girlfriend, Suxi, and their friend, Lord Zedd. Papillon takes the group to an off-limits entrance. George initially refuses to enter, but when a policeman confronts them and doesn't shoot them, the group escapes into the catacombs. They encounter singing female cultists, including a woman they saw at the club. The group finds a blocked tunnel. Scarlet removes a brick to unseal the tunnel, but Papillon explains that people who go through that tunnel disappear. His friend, La Tape, La Mole, is among the missing. The group takes an alternate route through a narrow tunnel, but it collapses behind them, nearly killing Benji. Inexplicably, they find themselves in front of the same blocked tunnel and are left with no choice but to break through. Inside, the group finds La Tupul, a condemned ghost trapped within the Purgatorio catacombs. He tells them going further down is the only way out. They eventually find a tomb with a preserved Templar knight, a mound of treasure, and the Flamel stone. Scarlet takes the stone, but when Papillon's group tries to take the treasure, they trigger a trap that causes the ceiling to collapse. La Tope seems lost under the rubble. Scarlet can supernaturally heal a wound on Suxis' arm using the Flamel stone. They find the drawing of a door on the ceiling along with a Gnostic Star of David, symbolizing as above, so below, cue credits, which reveals a hidden opening in the floor. Going through, they find a tunnel marked with the phrase, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here," in Greek, identical to the script on the entrance to hell in Dante's Inferno. On the other side of the tunnel, the group finds an upside-down reflection of the treasure room, where La Tope is waiting. He kills Suxi and disappears. As they descend deeper, an entity resembling a woman holding a child pushes Benji to his death. So sad. Papillon is then sucked into a burning car by an apparition resembling the stranger who had told Scarlet to find Papillon. The car implodes and buries Papillon to the floor, minus his feet, and tickles him. Scarlet, George, and Lord Zedd proceed deeper into the tunnels and sees apparitions of terrifying spirits and demons. White people. Statues in the wall come to life, weeping angels, and one rips open George's throat. Scarlet tries to heal the wound with the Flamel stone, but cannot. She realizes she has stolen a false stone and must return it to its original place to find the natural stone and heal George. Scarlet races back, finding the tunnels, and are now flooded with blood and covered in biting faces. When she returns to the stone, she sees a mirror and realizes the true power of the Flamel stone is within her. As she returns to George and Lord Zedd, she sees the same hanged man that she saw in Iran and recognizes him as her father, Chris. She apologizes for ignoring his phone call shortly before he committed suicide. And her father vanishes, along with the Bible. Scarlet then returns to George, instantly healing him with a kiss. Mwah. Chased by demons, the three survivors are cornered before a dark hole. Scarlet explains that they must jump in and confess their past sins to escape alive. George admits that he failed to save his brother from drowning, even though there was no water, and Lord Zedd confesses that he has an illegitimate child he has refused to claim. Dear Adonis, they jump into the hole and miraculously survive. They find a manhole at the bottom, which opens up to the streets of Paros. Scarlet and George of the Jungle hold each other, while Lord Zedd walks away, finally safe. In an ending log, Scarlet says she never ventured to seek or obtain any material treasure, only the truth. Finito.
Very good. Thank you, Michael.
You're not welcome.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, Justin, I don't know, do we want to give our ratings before we hear what these fucking morons think?
I think for this particular one, we might want to do the critic and audience before we do ours.
Okay.
All right. So, as above, so below. Has a 15% audience, or excuse me, 50% top critic score, a 29% all critic score, and a 41% all audience score.
So, did you say 50 or 15?
15.
That high?
I'm just gonna let that simmer for a little bit.
Shimmer?
Okay. I'm all right. Very intrigued on what the fucking reasoning for that is.
I have no honest idea because holy fuck. So I'm gonna read the top critic reviews.
The worst movie in the Halloween franchise.
Yeah. As always. As forewarned, so avoid. 1 out of 4. Crazy fucking. Come for the poster, stay for the end credits. I don't know what that means. I think that means it's good. I'm gonna be honest with you. An entertainment-free sinkhole of Dramamine-worthy nonsense.
Ooh. That's a very nice poster.
As Above, So Below is a novel enough to be worth the price of admission, but you'll think twice before getting back in line for a second visit. The movie signature signage, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here," is the only instruction we really need. And here's someone bitching. Here's a critic bitching about jittery recording and stuff in a found footage movie. Anyway, moving on to the audience reviews, because that is significantly higher than everyone else. I was having trouble finding fucking anything below 5 stars. Or 4 stars. Or 3 stars.
Or 2 stars.
Or 2 stars.
Or one
star.
I found
a couple 1.5 and 1.5 star reviews. But I feel like it's just, these are just what we come to expect from found footage horror movies at this point. When it comes to these types of reviews. My favorite half star review is, "Sometimes the wrong direction is better," which is just a line from the movie. And then the other half star review is, "Total nonsense, just random events tied by a very weak plot, and blurry storyline, a total waste of time. Watch something else," which is, if I feel like we're watching a VHS film, because that is exactly how every VHS movie gets talked about whenever we look through reviews for that. So now we got the 1 star. "Was kind of funny unintentionally. I don't fucking know what movie you were watching, dog." I put this review on here before we watched the movie because I was trying to like stay as spoiler free as possible. I did end up learning about what the movie was kind of about with the Philosopher's Stone thing. But other than that, I didn't know anything else. Except for one scene that I had previously seen a long time ago. I don't know what the fuck this guy means by "was kind of funny unintentionally." Where?
Bazinga.
Like, I could see if you watch the movie like over and over again, some of the shit does become funny to you, but like on first watch, no. "Really dull. I watched the whole thing and I was still waiting for it to start. Wasn't a good story. I wouldn't recommend it." Melee waiting for the title card to hit and the movie being over by the time it does. Which is why I included this 1 star review. "Absolutely dreadful. A train wreck of an unbearable protagonist, feeble scares, plot holes, cliche script writing and storytelling, and enough historical inaccuracies to frustrate even a rank amateur like myself. Not as rank as this film, mind you." That's it. That's the whole review. I don't know what the last part of that meant.
Crazy.
I had no problem with the historical bullshit, that actually made it more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I put this specific 1.5-star review on here because the review is literally just 1.5 stars being generous. That's the whole review. They didn't tell me anything else.
Interesting.
Thank you.
I hate people.
And now it's time for my favorite. Oh, no, it's Sam. It's time for your favorite review. Another good idea ruined by found footage, shaky cam, and lazy storytelling.
Oh, my God.
Sam, can I get a real close to the mic? Maybe you don't like found footage, dog.
Kill yourself.
Okay, that works too. dragging for the first hour and very slow. Scare factor is meh. 2 stars. 3 stars. This was very different than I expected, and it was very weird, but it was entertaining.
Uh-huh.
A found footage film done right. Electric, terrifying, and claustrophobic, as above, so below, truly sets itself apart from its peers. A must-watch for fans of the genre. Don't know how these are both 3-star reviews, but okay. 4 stars. The build-up and sequence of this movie is good, in my opinion. I think this is good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good movie. Very good movie.
This is a pretty good movie. It does a good job with its scares and the overall claustrophobia. And now for the 5-star reviews.
It's good.
Very underrated movie. Loved it. Great horror movie. Good movie. No clue why it's rated so low. One of the best horror films. Great story, great acting, great twist, great scares, and the best ending. This was a highly enjoyable horror movie that has an awful score I don't understand. If you like archaeological, mystical, Indiana Jones adventure horror mysteries, you'll definitely like this film. I didn't think the score was that bad. I think the score was fine. I don't think that anything, but whatever. I really enjoyed this horror movie as it had me really thinking about all of the decisions the writers included and also reflecting on life. Great horror movie and interesting backstory to pull me in to be interested in the Philosopher's Stone. So those are the reviews I picked out. Like I said, I wanted to do this before we actually gave our reviews this time because of the incredible discrepancy between what this movie is rated and what people actually think about it, because I feel like it's completely like other end of the spectrum, because I was having trouble finding bad reviews despite it being poorly rated on the platform. So I think that's very interesting, considering that normally when we hit that point, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. This one doesn't make sense at all. Good movie. Very good movie.
Thank you.
Now we can get into our reviews. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Yeah. All right, this is my first time watching this movie. I had no idea what it was about. That's a lie. I knew it was about the catacombs. I knew that. I knew exactly one scene from the movie, having never seen it before. I saw a scene in passing. My partner was watching it, and it's a scene where... Papillon, is that his name? The French tour guide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he gets sucked into the car. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I've seen from this movie, other than like knowing it's about the catacombs. So other than that, I was going in here completely blind. I really enjoyed the framing narrative of the Philosopher's Stone, her trying to finish her father's work, in order to get us into the catacombs as a reasoning. I thought that was really cool. This is essentially The Mummy if it was R-rated and found footage. And I'm super into that. And it takes nothing away from the movie itself. It's definitely different enough that it stands on its own, but it's also, I can compare it to that movie, and that's one of my favorite movies of all time. So, yeah. So, I have very little complaints. I don't know what it is that makes it so I can't give it a perfect score. I can't really find the words to describe it because I don't really have any complaints, like I said. But this is like a 9.5 for me.
Okay. It's because it's French.
Mm. Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah, that's worth. That's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything to say, honestly. I'm going to be straight up. This is one of the few... Well, it's probably happened a few times before, but... This is going to be one of the times where I just say, good movie, very good movie, 10.
I kind of expected that.
It good.
Yeah, it good. Good move. Dino.
What? Oh, yes.
Does that every time.
So I actually had the privilege of seeing this in theaters when it first came out. When I had first seen it, the found footage genre was very much done to death. Like, you know, anything that's a hit, you know, we were coming off Paranormal Activity and Blair Witch and stuff like that. So like almost every week there would be a new found footage movie released. There were elements of this one that really drew me into it, especially the fact that it was actually given permission by the French government to film in the actual fucking catacombs, which is insane.
Interesting.
Absolutely fucking insane. So, and mind you, this was the first time that I had really given knowledge about these catacombs. I would always see photos of it. And I'm like, this can't be fucking real. And they're like, no, it's very real. People could go in there. I'm like, what? Like, it's very, very interesting to see a different perspective of how death is perceived in other countries and cultures. So going into this film, I had as much knowledge of it as a typical Westerner going in. Like, this is fucking wild. When I first saw it, I got scared. It was very fucking good. But I feel like I didn't fully get to appreciate it upon the first viewing. So I went back a good number of years later. I'm like, I'm going to rewatch this. It was on Netflix, I think, randomly. And fully getting to enjoy it after everything had calmed down, realizing how every single attention to detail in this film is, all the way down to like the foreshadowing, all the way down to like the most minimal things. And connections of it. Like, a lot of people probably don't realize this, but the deaths in this movie, even the ones that seem most random, they are connected to the story of the characters. Benji's falling. The car fire, which is still the coolest fucking kill in this movie, in my opinion. And if not the coolest fucking kill in horror, in my personal opinion, because it is so... It's not even gory. Like, there's blood in this movie and everything else, but it, at a time that it came out, not as over the top as one would think. And I think that's why a lot of people got pissed off at this movie, which, fuck a movie for trying to be artistically good, you know? Mm-hmm. But no, this movie, every time I watch it, it gets more and more darker. Every time I watch it, it's very much a crazy fucking time in life. And by the time it's over, you very much are just like, what the fuck did I experience? It's not even watch, because it is an experience of a movie. And yet, much like a perfect film, it's not going to be appreciated by the masses. Like, it sucks that this movie is not given the same praise as a lot of other films. But this movie is definitely a film for people who actually appreciate a film, if not a genre. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is a good person. Everyone is flawed, and the comeuppances are there. Whether they be just catastrophically consequential or more along the long-lasting mental state of hit. I give this film, as above, so below, fuck it. 10 out of 30. French catacombs. 10 out of 30 French catacombs. Any other catacombs, that's high. So the French catacombs, mm-hmm. The exchange rate.
Yeah, I'm putting you down for a 10.
Yep.
Fair enough. Melee.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
All right.
This was a very interesting movie to see. I didn't know what I was expecting. The fact that it was French was very scary. But the thing that Dino said about this being like in the actual like catacombs, that's actually pretty cool. So, you know, it's not like they filmed it in the volume Daredevil. Mm. But it added to like the realism of everything that happens in this movie. And I made a comment during the reactions that this feels very eerily like real, especially when they're running, because being from New York, I've seen like some of the 9/11 videos, especially ones where there's like firefighters like inside the towers, and when they're running, like when the tower falls, it actually kind of reminds me of how they were running right there. So it was actually very eerie and almost too real. So I guess in that aspect, they nailed that in the creepiness factor of it. Being in a claustrophobic space, very ancient and spooky place, you don't know what could happen.
Mm.
This is probably a movie I'm going to have to watch like several times to like fully grasp it. Because to be honest, for me, I was very sleepy, but not because of this movie, just because I've been very tired. So I've been working on autopilot. So, but I very much enjoyed it. I probably have to give it a 9 out of 10, just because I really love the, like, I knew Sam told me, he said this is another found footage movie. I was still surprised that everything was found footage, and it was pretty cool. And didn't like detract from anything. It still felt very coherent. So, but yeah, I'll give it a 9 out of 10. And I'm sure I'll find more reasons to appreciate it in later viewings. But that's what my heart is telling me. 9.
What is your body telling you?
I'll show you.
Wait a minute. Wow.
But why is your body saying no in German?
Yo.
All right, well, that's going to give As Above, So Below an average score of 9.63, which puts it above Smile. Halloween. It puts it above Halloween 2. It puts it above a lot of stuff. It puts it just below Long Legs.
Ooh.
I can see that.
Worthy spot. Red movie poster movies.
Also, just above The Menu.
Ooh. No substitutions.
No substitutions at As Above, So Below.
The posters, like, goes hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. To all the fans, I would like to apologize for rating The Menu so low. I thought I was being too generous with my ratings, so I rated it that low, and then everyone rated it higher than me. I was like, okay, I guess I could have just done what I was supposed to do and gone with my gut.
Mm-hmm. That's what you should be doing anyway.
Instead of your balls.
Yeah. Also, this movie does not feel like a found footage movie. It is, but it isn't.
It is, but it does not feel like it. You're correct.
It does not feel like it whatsoever. I think it's because he's physically holding the camera the whole movie.
Yeah.
He's just also a character in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm also holding something.
So big. Anyway, next week we will be watching VHS 94 as we get into the last four movies of the VHS franchise. Yeah, I apologize that this episode's a little tired, but I think we're all fucking tired.
Tired, but good movie. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, very good movie. Nothing wrong with the movie. Just everything wrong
very
with...
Very tiring times, folks.
Yeah, very sleepy everyone is. So, but yeah, thank you guys for listening. As always, give us a follow on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave a review, please. I'll start a run through. If I can buy the merch on the Fourth Wall site, it's in the link in the description. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/UDMRide. It's only $1 a month, $2 a month if you want the YDR and 3-for-mile content.
Faster.
I can't go any faster than that. All right. Well, other than that, I guess we're done here. We'll see you next Thursday when we watch VHS 94. For me, for Dino, for Justin, for Melee, for Tony. We miss you. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Miss you, Tony.
We're the 3-for-mile. Bye.